Oh, good.
As,
yeah.
Yeah, we do a let's go to the movie section, and so that's our movie of the week, or is this
I was actually the executive producer of that film.
Well, that film doesn't surprise me, because that film does a marvelous job of helping you envision how this works. It makes the invisible visible, and you start to really see the invasiveness of it and the dangers of it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about the documentary, how it came to be and what it does. Because I want to encourage everybody to get it. And it does, if you have never envisioned how this stuff could be really organized and used, I think it does a marvelous job of doing that.
Oh, well, thank you, Catherine. I appreciate your endorsement of the film. The way the film came about was it's actually based on Grant Jeffrey's book, Shadow Government. And Grant Jeffrey, I never had an opportunity to meet him. He passed away earlier this year, unfortunately, from an embolism. But Grant Jeffrey had done quite a bit of work on the whole privacy issue from a biblical perspective. And the good folks at Cloud 10 Pictures up in Canada contacted me as just one of the people they wanted to interview for the film. And as we got to talking and I took a look at the script, I said, oh, wait, but you're leaving out all of this important other stuff. And so long story short, we wound up rewriting the script and identifying a whole new set of experts for them to interview, really to look at the state of the art and some of the cutting edge research that's being done, and talk to many of my activist friends. So it was a lot of fun being able to fly around the country and interview some of the top minds on this stuff. The movie Shadow Government essentially opens with a man who can't, you know, he wakes up in the morning and he's just going about his business, but it shows you at each stage as he's, you know, turning up the thermostat and picking up the newspaper out of the driveway, et cetera, it's showing you at each stage what either is possible today or is being envisioned as a tracking method. And you kind of see this happening and you sort of think, that's creepy, they don't really need to be watching that, or, you know, boy, he's, you know, he's throwing away his orange juice and they know what he's putting in the garbage because of the RFID tag, that's pretty creepy. But then it comes really to a head when he gets a visit from government agents who want to know why it was that he was photocopying certain posters, and they had to do with he was opposing abortion, and they wanted to know why he was making those photocopies. He said, how did you even know the photocopies were mine? And then we bring in someone from the EFF who talks about the fact that all photocopiers for the last, I don't know, 10-plus years have hidden a tiny pattern of yellow dots. And this is true for probably the photocopier in your own office. But there's a little pattern of dots. And if you make a photocopy and you stick it up in what you think is an anonymous location, that they can pull it down and they can transmit, you know, look, find that little tiny pattern of dots and trace the photocopier right back to you. So that's just one of many, many experiences that he has where he says, what in the heck is going on here? How did they know? How do they know everything about me? So
right.
I think it's a good wake-up call for people to really realize that these technologies that are so convenient and that we take for granted really have a sinister dark side, and that there's people who are availing themselves of that. You know, it's not just a theoretical thing. This stuff really does happen, and pretty regularly. So
we had one question.
Yes.
Go ahead. We had one question I wanted to ask you, because you're the person who got me to swear off Google forever.
Oh, good.
Somebody's always trying to talk me onto some Google platform, and I'm always saying, never. And I want to ask you more about search engines when we get to solutions. But first, this question, let me read it to you. I'd be interested in hearing your and Albrecht's comments about Petraeus' use of Gmail for his personal email, along with Broadwell's use of Gmail for her anonymous emails too, and about Jill Kelly. The FBI was able to trace them and hence gain access to their other Gmail accounts and other people's Gmail accounts, leading all the way to General Allen in Afghanistan. Whoa. And these are national security professionals?
Mm-hmm.
Why are national security professionals using Gmail?
Isn't that crazy?
Well,
And what I think is funny is Catherine, your listeners probably know more about why to avoid Gmail than even General David Petraeus. It's a crazy thought. The story with Google and what I was going to explain about the changes that have happened since 2010 In April of 2010, Google really took off the velvet glove and revealed the fist inside of it. You know, Google has been coming out with an incredible array of really useful products, and they're all free. And what the thing that people forget to ask themselves is, wait a minute, when was the last time a multi-billion-dollar corporation gave me all of its products for free? There's got to be a catch. And the reality is there is a catch. Those are not products. You're the product, and that's just the bait to get you to log on and reveal enormous amounts of information about yourself so that they can put it all together. And
right.
So in April, what Google did was they announced what I'm referring to as kind of the oneness policy, kind of like the Lord of the Rings, one ring to rule them all. It's one privacy policy to keep track of everything. So they explained this and said, you know, in the past, we have all these different privacy policies for all of our different services, and we're just going to make it easier on you by consolidating them all into one privacy policy. Well, what they really did, though, was they said that all of the privacy policies that require them to keep your data confidential, that all bets are off now and that they're going to consolidate everything they can find out about you to get a centralized view of you from every source they can. And one of the key places that, well, there's actually two key places where they get that centralized view of you. Number one is every time you type into the Google search engine, you're essentially logging on and typing into the global brain and saying, here's what's on my mind. You know, I think if back in the 1950s, if Stalin had had the ability to require every person in the far-flung Soviet Union to log on, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 times a day and download the contents of their brain into, you know, the
right.
Soviet Politburo, there would have been, you know, certainly an outcry among the West. But we do the same thing today, 15, 20, 30 times a day every time we do a Google search. Because Google does not exist to give you the answer to all your questions. Google exists as an open question mark to say, what are you thinking about now? And we log on to there and we tell them, well, I'm thinking about having this for dinner. I'm thinking about, you know, checking out this particular dentist. Hey, I'm thinking about that rash. I can't figure out what it is. Hey, I'm thinking about the fact that my kid has a cold. I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, I may be losing my home and I need to look at some mortgage options. I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, I may be addicted to prescription pain pills or, some illegal drugs. I'm thinking about the fact that my husband's having an affair. I mean, we type all these things. And we type them, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 times a day. For a lot of people, Google is their homepage. And for Google to be able to know what every person on the globe is thinking about that many times a day is an immense amount of power. And believe me, it is not power that's lost on the world's governments. That's why the Chinese government hacked into Google, so that they could find the dissidents. Because they know if you want to find dissidents, who has the most information about everybody? And the answer is Google. So that's the one place, and that's why we developed StartPage and Ixquick, which are the two private search engines. We like to call them the world's most private search engine. I started off just interviewing the folks from Ixquick, which is a meta search engine that takes your query and submits it to multiple other search engines and then gives you the results. And I fell in love with the company and wound up being their spokesperson, and now I'm a VP with the company, and then I helped them develop StartPage, which is a portal to Google results. So the Ixquick, which is ixquick.com, that will give you results from everybody but Google, and then StartPage gives you anonymized Google results so that Google never sees you. They only see us, and we go and get Google results for you without the tracking cookies. We don't record your IP address. In fact, we make no record whatsoever that you've even been there. So even if there were a subpoena or, God forbid, a hacker or something like that, there would literally be nothing on our server to obtain. So that's the search engine, and I recommend that everybody who's listening, please tell everybody else. If you think about it, every time we say Google this or Google that, we are giving billions of dollars of free advertising to this company by using its name as a verb. So we say StartPage it around here. It was a hard habit to break, but we don't say Google it anymore. We say StartPage it. And then the other piece is the Gmail program, which is the other place that Google gets an immense amount of information about us, and that goes even beyond what you type in a search engine, because what you write to people in email is really, you know, oftentimes you'll put an attachment there. It might be your medical records. It might be your new business plan. If you send anything to or from a Gmail account in the fine print, you are agreeing to allow Google to capture, read, correlate, collate, do whatever they want with the information in there, and it belongs to them. And even if you delete it, they don't delete it. They own it forever. So every I don't write to people with Gmail accounts anymore. Yeah, I all if somebody writes
to me
from
a Gmail
account,
well,
I've got to stop. If someone writes to me from a Gmail account, I have to stop and look and say anything that I reply, I have to be comfortable with sending it directly to Google and having it go in my dossier, in my entry. And so I will never put, you know, anything about where I'm going to be or my schedule or my phone number or any kind of addresses or anything. And oftentimes I'll literally call the person up and say, I'm so sorry, but unless you get another email account, I can't correspond with you about this sensitive topic because it's Gmail. You know, even my doctor, she said, yeah, send me your test results. And I said, sure. And she said, here's my email address. It was Gmail. So we had a little talk. I don't want Google knowing that. So people who love StartPage and XQuick have really been clamoring for us to develop an equivalently private email. And I think the whole Petraeus thing is really bringing this to the surface, that we need the ability to write private email. I'm not excusing what David Petraeus did, but, you know, certainly if I'm going to be writing to my doctor, I want the ability to send my medical records privately and know that nobody's going to see them.
Right.
So our Start Mail product will be coming out in 2013, and if people would like to be on the beta test list, they can send an email to beta@startpage.com. That's BETA, like alpha beta, @startpage.com, and just say that you heard me on the Solari report, and you will get an automated confirmation that will put you on the list, and you will be you'll get free access as soon as it's available. We'll get you free access for a couple of months to kick the tires. Let us know what you think, and that'll be coming out pretty soon.
I will definitely send one in personally myself. That's terrific. Okay, so. Now, let's turn to RFID chips. How do we protect ourselves from this technology, maybe starting with the credit cards? I'm one of those people who walks around putting things in sleeves, including my passport.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to work? Is that going to help?
Yeah, that is a good idea. They make RFID blocking wallets, and I would strongly recommend that everyone get one. You don't have to go even to that extent. There's places online you can start page it, or you can make an RFID blocking wallet out of duct tape. So it aluminum foil, the tinfoil hat crowd was right. You can block the transmission of radio frequency waves with aluminum foil. But it's not like kryptonite. You know, it just having a little bit there doesn't do it. You have to actually completely envelop the thing that is trackable with the aluminum foil. So even if there's a little crack or a little opening, you can still have a transmission, so you want to be pretty thorough about blocking it. The other thing you can do is there's really no reason for you to need the RFID tag in your credit card. So you can deactivate it. You can call the company. They won't be able to deactivate the tracking capability of the tag because it's a live tag in your credit card, but they can deactivate the contactless portion of it to be usable. And, you know, that doesn't really help you much, frankly, because if somebody gets the number, they're not going to try to make a new contactless card and use it as a contactless card. They're just going to use the number as a regular credit card. So I think that's kind of a cop-out on the part of the credit card companies. The other thing you can do is if you hold your credit card up to a bright light, or hold a flashlight up to it. If you can locate the chip, it'll be like a square, and then it'll have an antenna running around the edge. If you can locate where the chip is, you can either pop it out with a little powerful hole punch or a little awl, A-W-L, those old-fashioned words, or you can take a ball-peen hammer and just hit it several times really hard. The other thing you can do is put it in the microwave for about 5 seconds, and it will arc and spark and pop. Don't do that to your passport, though, because that's U.S. property, and damaging it can actually be a federal offense, believe it or not. Your passport, this is the booklet passport, actually has a very short read range. That's only a read range of literally millimeters, you know, maybe a couple of inches at most, and that is encrypted. So the booklet passports, believe it or not, are among the more secure forms of RFID. It's those e-pass cards and the credit cards that are such a problem.
Now, if you do that, if you put your credit card in the microwave and sort of nuke the chip, will the credit card still work?
It will, yeah, because, see, we don't really use the purpose of that chip is not so that your credit card can be scanned. The purpose of the chip is so that you can wave the credit card at one of these contactless credit card readers. And, again, that's just not what people are doing. So it hasn't caught on yet, despite the fact that they've been doing this like 5 years, putting these into credit cards. I believe the industry did this on the basis of some research, which I think the research is accurate. They found that people spend more, the less they have to actually see the credit card. And so the idea of the industry here was that rather than you having to actually open your wallet and take out your credit card and take a look, and when you see that little credit card symbol, you remember your bill and you go, oh, yeah, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't buy this, that they found that when people don't have to physically handle the card, that they spend a lot more money, like 30-40% more in some cases.
Wow.
And they even tested this at a fast food drive-in. They had a wave-and-go fast food payment system that they tested, and they found that people were eating like 30% more calories when they didn't have to actually take out money and pay for the food, when they were able to just kind of wave it and not have to think about it. So all of that I found just fascinating, and I think the industry said, well, we make our money. You know, we get a percentage every time a dollar is spent on the credit card, so if we can get people to spend more money, then we can make more money. So I think that's the reason. It just really has not caught on, this idea that I could just take my purse and wave it in front of a reader, and right through my purse you'd be able to get the ID number and I'd never have to take my wallet out at all. But I think if people began to really push for that, then you'd begin to realize how easy it would be for a hacker to reach your number through your purse, too. And I think that that's the dirty little secret of these cards, is just how hackable and readable they are. There's no security, no encryption. Your number is transmitted literally in the clear to anyone with a reader device who can get close enough to you to snag it.
The one of our subscribers from Texas is very excited about this new email and wants to know when the email service will be available from Startpage.
It's probably going to be spring of 2013. And, you know, we call Startpage the world's most private search engine. And StartMail really will be the world's most private email. And when I say private, I'm talking encrypted to the point where even we will not have access to your email. And
that's
pretty exciting. We have come
so
up with
a way. So you can turn around to the Department of Justice and say, well, we can't give it to you because
that's
we
right.
don't. Right.
That's right.
That's,
the only way
remarkable.
That they'd be able to access your email would be if they had physical access to your computer, or if they hacked your computer with a Trojan so that they could watch what you were typing from your keyboard. But they're not going to be seeing it from us. So that's to put that together, and we are using state-of-the-art technology. This is 2013-level technology, and we've got a brilliant team of engineers over in Europe working on this, and I'm so excited because they have left no stone unturned. They have tested every aspect of this, and it will be third-party certified, just like Startpage is, by both Certified Secure and Europrees. So we're going to go the extra mile and not just tell you that it's secure, but we're going to have third-party independent audits verifying every single aspect of it as being secure. So that's going to be coming out. As I said, it'll probably be sometime in the spring of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps getting delayed a little bit because we keep, realizing that we got to add this, and if we want it to be perfect, we've got to add that. So it's really just a process of fine tuning a Ferrari here, I think.
Okay,
and, oh, and let me, let me just repeat, if people missed it, it's beta@startpage.com, and just say that you heard Catherine Albrecht on the Solari Report. And we'll go ahead and get you on the list. So I'm not sure how quickly that list is going to fill up. So I would encourage people to please go ahead and sign up, and we'll look forward to getting your feedback when it's ready.
One more question before we finish. A question from Kansas City. What about Apple's iCloud system relative to privacy?
Ooh, yeah, let's talk Apple for just a minute. when I think about what's being built right now and you know, not to get too esoteric, but essentially we are building eyes and ears into the physical fabric of our world. And as we build those eyes and ears, you know, the eyes, of course, being the surveillance cameras, and the ears, you know, now they're a lot of these surveillance cameras, people didn't realize it, but they came originally equipped with microphones that just never got turned on. And now they're starting to turn the microphones on. So you have bus departments, for example, that have put cameras on board the buses, and now they're turning the microphones on, too, so now they can listen to your conversation on the bus. So, you know, we're building eyes and ears into the world. We're also building trackability into the physical objects in the world that can communicate with those eyes and ears. And the big question that all of the watchers have been asking, and we really featured this in our book, Spy Chips, which, by the way, if you haven't read it, everybody please get a copy, even if it's just from the library, because everything we wrote about in 2005 and 2006, it's all occurring exactly the way we wrote it. In fact, the book is more relevant and timely today than when we wrote it because we were so far ahead of our time. You know, not because we have any kind of magical skills, but just because we were reporting on what they said they were going to do, and they're doing exactly what they said they were going to do, just like they said they were going to do it. So this idea that everything becomes traceable, they really cut to the chase, I believe, with all these Apple products, because now instead of having to figure out, well, how do we get the RFID tags on the consumers so that we can track them, you're already logging into the global brain multiple times a day through your smartphones, your Android smartphone and your Apple iPhone.
No, I just have to correct you. Our cellmates, not our cellmates.
Yes,
you have to explain the new change in name.
Yeah, I did a contest on the show. I said, you know, these aren't phones. We grew up with phones, the kind where you go ring, ring, ring. Hello, yes, this is Catherine. Oh, I'm fine, thanks. Okay, bye, click, right? That's a phone. But these addictive devices that you see people staring into all day long and, you know, getting injured thumbs using so addictively have really become the portal to the global brain. And I did a contest on my show, and I said, let's come up with a new name because cell phone is not the right name for them anymore. And we got some really great entries, and I loved the one cellmate. It's your cellmate. And the question I always ask is, how many bars do you have on your cell? I always say how many bars of, you know, antenna power there. But, yes, you have bars on your cell, and you're carrying your cell around with you, basically.
Right.
You're a prisoner of your own cell there. So, yes, the cellmates that we're carrying around and that we're using to essentially log into the global brain and report our position. And you'll see young people nowadays, they just in Minneapolis, they just were boasting on the RFID Journal that they had the biggest gathering of people tagged with RFID ever. And it was, on a public street. And it was 50,000 zombies. 50,000 people dressed up as zombies and put an RFID wristband on their right wrist and walked around the streets of Minneapolis during the pub crawl. So they went from bar to bar drinking, and every doorway that they walked through tracked and monitored their location. Now, you would think that if you told these, you know, 20-something and 30-something, you know, young people, hey, you're being tracked through that RFID tag, that they would say, ew, get this thing off of me, right? Because isn't being young all about being free from surveillance and not you know, monitored and watched in that way? Well, they've found the way around that, which is by making it cool and hip and tying it in with Facebook. And so the latest thing now at these big concerts, the Coachella concert in California being one of the first ones to do this, is they actually have they put the RFID tag on your right wrist. They fully tell you it's RFID. They completely tell you it's a trackable microchip. They even have you enter the event by pressing your right hand to a right-hand reader that actually is a circle with a right hand in it, and you press your right hand up to the right-hand reader, so that, and you hear a beep, so you know you're getting read. Well, now what they have people doing is logging in through Facebook portals. So all of the RFID event management companies that have only been around for like a year and a half, this is really new, but it's really taken off, is they put up these huge Facebook portal, billboard, kiosk kind of things. And so Coachella Festival, for example, it's a big music festival out in the middle of nowhere in the desert of California. As people drove up to the Coachella Festival, they had the Indio police create a barricade a mile around the event, and stop all vehicular traffic that was going towards the festival and make everybody in the car roll down the window and stick their right hand out of the car so that the police could scan all of their RFID tags before they were allowed to proceed. So this is young people getting conditioned to police checkpoints checking their RFID tags on public streets. And these were police. This was not private security. They somehow enlisted the local police to do this. When you get to the event, so you fully know that police are scanning you, when you get there, they have a whole bunch of different stages. It's kind of like Woodstock. And so as you go to each different stage, everybody was walking up and queuing, standing in line to press their RFID reader up to this Facebook kiosk to give an update of their location onto the social media so that their friends could see where they were. So far from what you and I, Catherine, might think, that young people would be appalled at the idea of being tracked and monitored in this way, they've made it cool so that they stand in line to report their location so they can be tracked and monitored. It's really crazy.
One of the things, and it's a much longer conversation, but one of the dangers of this kind of technology is the ability for the system to use it to harvest you financially. So you're talking, when you adopt it and agree to be tracked like this and to live in a no-privacy world, what it means is you're competing in the marketplace with people who have complete privacy but also have complete access to your data, which means that intelligence can be used to outgame you constantly. And so to me, it's very much a financial issue and tremendously diminishes your ability to basically build financial security. It's a much longer, deeper conversation, but when it comes to both, you know, your purchases, but also your investments, it really gives the, you know, the top of the financial system a way to game you in dramatic ways that really it's very hard for you to understand or fathom.
Well, I'll give you just a really practical example of that is Marty Abrams, who is a consultant for the retail industry. He actually talked about the in retail stores, this is, you know, very face-to-face kind of financial transactions, but actually identifying shoppers so that you could offer higher prices to the undesirable ones. So the people who are, you know, so they're not just wasting your time and pushing a cart and breathing your air and, you know, so that they actually become valuable, you charge them higher prices or offer them poor service. Bank of America actually designed a system where the bank card that they issue you would have an RFID tag in it. There would be a reader device in the door as you walk in, and it would send a message to the teller as to who you are and what your bank account was so that they could decide whether to just, you know, close the window and make you go to the ATM machine or have the bank president come out with a glass of, you know, wine in his hand and invite you back into his office. So it's really this idea of no longer do we just walk around, you know, making our own decisions about who knows our financial circumstances, but we would be beaming them out so that people could use them to take advantage of us.
Right. One more question, just because one came in that's very good. Is your cell phone SIM chip have the same issues? It seems more intrusive.
Yeah, there's interesting laws that cover cell phones in ways that RFID is the Wild West and RFID is not covered, but the lines are beginning to blur a little bit. I'm truly concerned about what's happening with the cell phones, and it's not just the fact that, you know, the cell phone, and again, it's no longer a phone. It's now become an internet portal. It's now become a GPS, Wi-Fi, blah, 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 Bluetooth. I mean, we are emitting so many things as we walk around with these little cellmates, these little link lords or whatever you want to call them,
right.
these cell phones, that I think no longer is the issue really even going to be the SIM card in your cell phone or your phone emissions. I think that these phones are actually going to become your keys, your wallet, your payment system, your loyalty cards, your membership cards, your everything else. And again, it's just like these kids going up and pressing their right hands to the Facebook portal. Your phone is going to be something that you are actively using to identify yourself and show the world that you're there. So
right,
it's less about eavesdropping. Yeah.
What the banking system wants more than anything is a global digital currency.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to do it through the phone.
Yeah, they're going to do it through the phones. And that's why, you know, the Google and Apple wallets scare me to death.
Yeah, and the watchword you want to look for here is NFC or near field communication. That's the phrase you want to be looking for, because that's the NFC payments is really going to be the payment system of the future, and it's all going to be based on the cell phone, because now we're up to like 80% cell phone penetration in the population. And anytime you hit 80%, this is kind of my little rule of thumb, anytime you hit 80% voluntary cooperation with really anything, then you can push the other 20% on board by mandating it, by giving them no other choice. And we've hit that penetration level with the cell phones now. So I think it's coming, and probably quicker than we think, that we are going to see financial transactions moving over onto the cell phone. And, you know, it is a form of RFID. It all kind of blurs a little bit, because you are using radio waves to transmit an ID number. And, again, it's going to be less about the inadvertent trackability of your cell phone and more about the intentional, hey, here I am, and let me send out my signal.
Well, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, as usual, you've given us much to think about and many good actions we can take. Just take a second and go through your websites and your radio show and how we can stay in touch and just be kept abreast of your work and how we can support you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. Well, let's see. The ones that I've mentioned so far are startpage.com and xquick.com, the world's most private search engines. I encourage people to, if you have Google as your homepage, please take the needle out of your arm, get unaddicted, make the transition over, and make either Startpage or xquick your homepage instead. There also is a way to install them into your browser. So in that upper right-hand corner, you know, you have a little Google search window, you can install Startpage or xquick there instead, so that you can conveniently do the searches right from your browser. So I would encourage people to definitely do that, and also to send an email to beta@startpage.com to get our private email when it comes out. The anti-animal chipping website is chipmenot.com. There's a lot of very sad stories and pictures of all the animals that have been unfortunately microchipped and had problems because of that, and died of cancer and other things. We also have a tremendous amount of evidence there about implantable microchips causing cancer. That's chipmenot.com. Our battles against human microchipping, including a 40-page FAQ on implantable microchips for free, is available at antichips.com. And there you can see our protest against the chipping of the Alzheimer's patients that got that stopped. My home website is kmashow.com. It's actually KatherineAlbrecht.com, but there's so many ways to spell that. I just said KMA. Those are my initials. kmashow.com is my radio show website and also my personal website. You can sign up for the radio show website there. You can also find 5.5 years of radio archives. I do a daily radio show that's you can search it. There's a little start page search window right at kmashow.com. Oh, and by the way, any webmasters out there, people who run their own websites, if you have Google search on your website, you are transmitting to Google information about every single person who lands on your website and clicks that search box. So please get rid of your Google search box on your website and replace it with a start page search box, because you can easily make that transition and protect people's privacy. So kmashow.com, archived 5.5 years of archived radio shows, and also a live stream every day. My show airs Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and also on Saturdays, right through the lunch hour from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And again, that's at kmashow.com. And then our our Spy Chips book website that I share with Liz McIntyre is at spychips.com. And then finally, the school chipping campaign that we are running right now, we are looking for donations. So if people would like to help out, we would like to do an automated phone dialing system all across San Antonio to get parents apprised of what's happening there, and we need funding for that. That is at chipfreeschools.com. Boy, that's a lot of websites.
It's a lot of websites. Okay, and if you could just mention to buy the documentary, I want to make sure that everybody knows this is done, shadow government's done from a Christian perspective.
Indeed,
so,
it is.
If you could just tell them how they can get a copy of Shadow Government.
Well, let's see. I have signed copies available on my website, and you can also find them wherever fine products are sold. I think it's available through Amazon. You can also look up shadowgovernmentmovie.com, I believe is the website. Shadow Government Movie. You can see previews of it. If you want to, somebody posted it up on YouTube too. So I don't usually encourage people to do that, but I think it's so important that you get the information that really trumps even that you purchase the film. But we would encourage you to do that. So shadowgovernmentmovie.com, YouTube, Amazon, it's all over the place, and also my website, kmashow.com. The nice thing about that movie is that it's not really a Christian film until the last probably 5 minutes of the film. And I am a Christian. I believe that all of these technologies are part of the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. So that's something I've been pretty outspoken about for the last many years now. And I like the fact that in that film we were able to put together a secular case, and by the time you get to the end of it, you're really biting your nails down to the quick going, oh my gosh, what do we do? You know, it feels pretty hopeless, and fortunately there is that message of hope at the end of, hang on a second, this was all predicted 2,000 years ago. And not only are the scary parts of the Bible true, but the promises of the Bible are true as well, so there's hope.
Well, I'm a Christian as well. The reason I mentioned that is that I always have a group of subscribers who've had very traumatic experiences at the hands of the Christian church.
Indeed.
And so whenever I recommend something that's Christian and I don't warn them ahead of time, they just go ballistic.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing about the movie, if you turn it off before the last 5 minutes, you won't even notice that it's a Christian film. It's literally, as you see Grant Jeffrey begin to walk under the trees in those last 5 minutes of what's an hour and a half movie, that's when you're going to get that message. And he holds up a Bible, and it's pretty obvious what's coming. But I do find that message hopeful, because so often...
Yeah, it is hopeful. So open your mind and live through the whole, listen to the whole thing. Okay, well, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the Salieri Report. Thank you for everything you're doing. And just keep us posted on how we can support you, and we'll continue to promote all of your good works and your websites. And but keep us in mind, because we want to see you enjoy every success.
Thank you so much, and I think the world of you, and I'm so delighted that you had me back, and it truly is an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much, Catherine. God bless you.
God bless you.